I'd like to call the reconvene the Transportation Finance Conference Committee.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Members, you're aware that we're reconvening because last evening, although we did approve the two or the agreement we had, apparently the governor has a few items that he'd like to re-examine, and that's what we'll be doing this evening. Basically, only those couple items that he spoke about. Senator Murphy, I think you have a comment.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, and members, after a lot of discussion yesterday and then again today, I think that we have some changes that are in front of you in the packet that reflect what I believe the governor will sign and that the two chambers will be able to approve. You know, I'm kind of glad that maybe we held off a little bit yesterday. I think that the conference committee report that we had coming out of here yesterday was a better product, but it probably would not have been law. This one, we have some pretty good assurances, will become law, and it's not bad. I mean, we're rectifying a lot of things with Metro Transit, Greater Minnesota Transit, the Trunk Highway Fund, and some of the reductions that were made there. We're changing them a little bit in this bill to allow Connie and those folks to more adequately get the federal money processed and keep the regular construction projects moving forward as well. And there's also no reduction to the state patrol in this. And I think that if the governor's going to sign this, you know, there's a lot of other bills that are going to be much more difficult to conferee, and we might as well get out of the way. So, Mr. Chairman, having said that, I would move that having voted on the prevailing side of the conference committee report, that we now reconsider that vote by which it passed.
Any questions or comments on Senator Murphy's motion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, the motion's adopted. Senator Murphy, I believe, you have some more comment? Otherwise, we'll call the department up.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Burris has a motion that I need to make to we members. There was a piece of the Hornstein Amendment. We forgot to pick it up yesterday and it wasn't even in the conference committee report. So I'd like to move that now, and maybe Mr. Burris can explain that real quick.
Mr. Chairman, members. This is a passenger rail report that went along with the passenger rail authority provided to MnDOT. In the conference committee side-by-side, this starts on page R48, at the bottom of that page, the section 18 on the House side. That's 27.8 through 27.23 on R49.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that section.
Basically, I believe, any questions as far as what Mr. Burris explained the amendment? If not, all you've heard the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Contrary. The amendment is adopted.
Now. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, maybe we can just walk through this real quick, maybe have Ms. Sewers or...
Senator Murphy, I think we'll call it department for
A
quick overview. Is that what you're suggesting? Mm-hmm. Someone from Department of Transportation, if you'd come to explain the changes from last evening. Yeah, they did. Mr. Burris, for the testifiers, probably it's easier for Mr. Burris to explain the changes and then you can react. Now, Mr. Burris.
Mr.
Or Ms. Stewart is going to do it, okay.
Mr. Chair and members, I'd like to direct your attention to the packet that was handed out at the beginning of the meeting.
What was the question you asked? No, the testifiers have it, and we have the members have it, and we haven't handed it out to the public, Ms. Lewis, until we're finished.
Okay, Mr. Chair and members, just to run through the top cover sheet quickly. In a couple of the major changes in the finance areas that the proposal is to remove the motor vehicle lease sales tax language from the conference committee report, as well as to adjust the Greater Minnesota Transit payment schedule. In the bill, or in the conference committee report, we had a payment schedule, and there are a few language changes to increase the flexibility in that. This is related to some clarification around the Greater Minnesota Transit deficit. Originally, we thought they needed a $7.6 million shift from fiscal year, or an increase in fiscal year 2009 and a decrease in fiscal year 2011. And this proposal clarifies that to change the 7.6 to 2.5 million. And so there are some language changes to go along with that. In addition to that, this proposal also transfers $13 million from the livable communities accounts rather than $7 million, which was in the conference committee report. The unchanged items include the current and future livable communities balance transfers. It keeps the RELF transfer at 0.75 or a maximum of 75%. And then also has still the AmBest acceleration for the Metropolitan Transit, which equals about $13 million, and then also some various non-legislative items that all account for $33 million. The Greater Minnesota Transit pieces, like I said, there's that clarification with the $2.5 million shift. There's also an increase in the MBEST acceleration. The proposal has Greater Minnesota Transit receiving 4.75%. in fiscal year 2010, and then it drops back to 4% for Greater Minnesota Transit in 2011 and after. And then it also reduces corresponding MVEST allocation to the Highway User Fund in 2010 by that 0.75% that will be going to Greater Minnesota Transit. On the trunk highway side, there's the $155 million decrease is split for $120 million coming from state road construction, and then $35 million reductions will be proportional across the other areas of MnDOT, and there won't be any reduction to the state patrol. And the following four pages after that provide more detail on the Metropolitan Transit, Greater Minnesota Transit, MVEST, and then the trunk highway changes. One thing to note, the proposal still includes the $1 million for commuter and passenger rail, as well as the other cuts for Greater Minnesota Transit and Metro Transit for a target total over the three-year period being a $14.8 million decrease.
Ms. Ewers, I believe maybe I didn't hear it correctly, but you said the rail fund, you said seven and a half, and we sold five on the sheet.
It was 75%.
Oh, 75%, okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The testifiers, unless there are questions from the members of the committee, if not, we can direct them to the testifiers too. Who has? Representative Hortman.
I can wait until you're through.
No, we're okay.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted a quick clarification from, is it Commissioner Bell? No. What is it?
Chair Bell.
That the numbers we have represented here to resolve the deficit don't completely resolve the deficit. They leave a negative three, but the presumption is that a fare increase will not be necessary. at least in the next year.
Chair Bell.
Mr. Chair, Representative Portman, the numbers that were presented to you now leave to meet the Senate target for us of $75 million, 1.75 short. That is without the fare increase, 1.75 short. I'm willing to state that we will be able to balance the budget without a fare increase, but would very much appreciate that we not be precluded from doing a fare increase given unusual circumstances, fuel increases, a drop in ridership, and the like. But I would be willing to provide the committee with a letter stating that we are able to balance our budget without a fare increase.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To follow up, if it does look like that when the legislature is in session next year, if you're looking to the future that you might anticipate a fare increase, I hope that we'll have some conversations about the livable communities accounts and other alternatives that might be out there to a fare increase before you would go ahead with that. So, thank you.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you. Mr. Bell, and in your letter, if you could also explain another thing that we talked about, and that was the kind of a payback of the livable communities account. We would appreciate that.
Chair Bell.
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, it is our intention to use up to 50% of the LCA account and the TIBRA account and their reserves or their balances, present and future, and up to 75% of the RALFA account for up to a 2-year period of time. We would not, however, I want to be clear on this, this is not my understanding, that we would be replenishing those funds. We would
just slow the...
That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
That's what I meant. But if you could clarify that in your letter to the legislature, we'd appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, I will do that.
Great. Thanks. Thank you.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do appreciate that, Mr. Bell. Continue to be disappointed that... we're relying on livable communities to offset this, but I think your reassurances about a fare increase are helpful, and I'll reluctantly support this because of that additional. We're losing about six more million dollars, of livable communities money, and that's it's problematic, but in the interest of moving forward, I think for Metro Transit at least. We've dealt with the deficit, and that's our goal. That was really our goal this session. So thank you, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chairman.
Chair Bell, do you have comments or not?
No. Mr. Chair, Representative Portman, I just wanted to extend my appreciation to the committee for the excellent work that it has done and the flexibility it has shown. From my review of the financial information, it is as we have discussed over the past 2 days. In the administration, we have to see the final product, but if it is as represented, it's agreeable to us.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chair, I'm going to ask Commissioner Tidegem to join the testifiers at the table for a moment.
I think you can pull up another chair.
I didn't mean to kick you out, Mr. Peterson, just to add on, if you would.
You can take a soft one, too,
and,
you're used to that.
Commissioner, Mr. Peterson, I know that we've had a series of discussions in the last 24 hours about the deficit in Greater Minnesota Transit. Could you explain how the number went from a $7.56 million figure to a $2.5 million figure?
Commissioner Sahidjo, are you the person that's going to answer that, or am I?
I will try, and Mr. Peterson can help me if I don't say it right. The number, the $7.5 million, was a number that is a statewide need that includes some shortfalls that are, and that is statewide. The reason it went down to $2.5 million is we looked at it closer to see, to differentiate between acute and more harder shortfalls that some services need, and in the spirit of being able to move this bill and be able to get a bill signed, I think we wanted to focus on the areas that would the need would be the most. So that's why we reduced that to $2.5 million, so we were able to take care of those folks that really needed the help.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner, I appreciate that. I know you and I have had a chance, but I need to publicly say what has happened here, that I had met with Tom Gottfried of MnDOT, and then I followed up with an email of April 9th, 2009, and I asked about the dollar amount that would be needed to fix the problem. The cash flow issue would require approximately $7.6 million now. Is this amount accurate with my question? I understand that the answer, the $7.6 million is needed to address this issue in April for all greater Minnesota transit providers. I understood the number to be $7.6 million. I had numerous conversations with the Speaker of the House, with the Finance Chair, with the Ways and Means Chair, with MnDOT, with the Senate, and I always used 7.6. MnDOT sat in this room on Friday and Saturday and heard 7.6. After we voted on the report, I found out the number 2.5. I accept there was a miscommunication. I'd like to know the source of the miscommunication. I don't think it was me. My question to you is, will you accept responsibility for this miscommunication as an organization?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morrow, I'll accept that responsibility.
And with that, and I appreciate that, because I do believe, Commissioner, that you're doing a good job, and I do believe your folks are trying to do a good job, but I need to have it explained on the record what this difference is, because this is a $5 million shift. I hope, members, you all have the May 3rd email from Tom Gottfried. This lays out the 22 or so, actually, I think there's 22 on here, Greater Minnesota Transit. I'm sorry, we not have that?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like members to see this, because what's happening here is that when we vote on this, we'll be helping the Greater Minnesota Transit operations that are on this list. We will not be providing additional assistance to the Greater Minnesota Transit operators who are not on this list, because if I understand correctly, Commissioner, they are not in acute crisis. Am I explaining that correctly?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, you're correct.
Mr. Chair, and I accept that, and I am grateful to you, Commissioner, and to your staff for the conversations we've had the last 24 hours to clarify this. The final point I would make, members, is that I've expressed my concern to Deputy Commissioner Sadiq-Dem about MnDOT and its activity, if you will, when it comes to Greater Minnesota Transit. I think that MnDOT needs to devote a great amount of its internal resources to address, to keep an eye on, and to work on Greater Minnesota Transit. I know that Mr. Schadauer is working very hard on a state transit plan, which I appreciate from Commissioner Sorrell. I hope that this means a new day in MnDOT when it comes to Greater Minnesota Transit in terms of oversight, in terms of communication, in terms of working with the governor to provide the services that are needed throughout the state of Minnesota.
Commissioner?
Yes, yeah. Mr. Chair, thank you for those comments, Representative. And as you stated, we are in a transition point. We've been here about a year now, and I think it's changing. And I do want to compliment our people, Mr. Gottfried, Mr. Shadow, as you mentioned, and Tim Hinkle, who runs that division. They are truly dedicated. They're always knocking at our door. Advocating for Greater Minnesota Transit, so believe me, we're trying hard to keep them whole. So that is a commitment from us.
And to be clear, I'm committed to you to working with you. I do respect you. I do respect the staff you just mentioned. And for me, we can move forward from this point.
Any further questions? Representative Horn or
Senator
Murphy, I guess.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to say that, you know, this is going to be a continuing, an ongoing problem. You know, we're just going to take care of these folks here right now, but going forward, this booking gap that is happening there, we need to figure out how to take care of that, so next year we'll try and take care of the rest of it. All right.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess, you know, this was hinted at, but I guess I'd like to get this on the record. Assuming this conference committee report with these changes that you're aware of now, is adopted and we get this through our respective bodies, I understand, I hope or trust you're empowered to talk from the governor's office. Will the governor now sign this bill?
The chair bill?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hornstein, in my conversations with the governor, his concerns were twofold. One is the low-income fuel tax credit, and the second was the MVEF shift. He did say that, or authorized me to enter into negotiation using the proceeds for the MVEF shift. I think we have negotiated in good faith. I have to see, of course, or the administration has to see the final bill. But if it is as we have discussed and represented here, it is my understanding that he will support it. But the proviso always has to be, every governor would have that, I've got to see the actual final bill. But we have been negotiating in good faith regarding this. I want to assure the committee members that.
Mr. Chair, well, it would appear to me then that we have an April 30th letter from the governor addressed to Senator Murphy and Representative Leader. It would appear to me that we have now met all of the conditions for this bill to be signed, and I really trust it will be.
Chair Bell.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hornstein, I would concur with the observation of Representative Hornstein.
Senator Osteen.
Darn close. I'd just like to thank Representative Morrill for all the work he's done on this rural transit stuff. He's really kind of taking the lead on our, in the legislature, I think, on this. And one of those services is in my district, so I really appreciate the work because, you know, people don't realize that but for these services, a lot of people would have to go to a nursing home or something, and it'd be much higher expenses to our state government than, you know, maybe, I understand this is a different pot of money, but in the overall cost to government, by keeping these services and allowing people to, you know, be able to go to the grocery store and that kind of stuff, it keeps people in their homes and much cheaper for government, but also where they want to be. So I appreciate the work on everybody's part to reduce this number and make this work. So I just wanted to say thanks.
Are there further questions or the testifier?
Mr. Chairman, the last thing that I think that we want to hear is just briefly from MnDOT about the $120 million reduction on the state road construction.
Is that Commissioner Edom or is that Scott? Either one
I'll
of you.
I'll do it. Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, I guess obviously we were at a different number, and it changed a couple times throughout the past couple of days, and where we were last night or about an hour ago would have been really difficult for us. We literally would have to stop doing any kind of a purchasing and hiring and to evaluate what the impact would be on our, because we really want to make sure that we do a good job delivering the program, all these additional dollars that have come to the state of Minnesota. I do want to thank the committee to moving it to 120. I think that will help us a lot. So that would mean a $35 million cut out of our operating dollars, which we will try to manage. And I know the dollars, I haven't seen them, but they're divided up three or four different ways. And and we'll look at those, and we may have to move some things around back and forth within the operating dollars. Hopefully that will address any problems we may have. But I thank you for that. I think that will help us a lot, and I think it'll be acceptable by the governor.
We're here to help, you know.
Thank you, and I trust that the I know it went $20 million the other, or $15 million the other way, with our partners in the highway industry wanted, but I trust that they'll be okay with it. And we are getting really good bids in our stimulus program. We're building lots of roads, and we have the $40 million bonding, trunk highway bonding in the bill, which is a great addition too, which will help us do more. So.
Thank you, Commissioner Seajim. And you bring up a good point about our partners in the road construction industry, and what I would say is that we got to close up the bill, otherwise there's not going to be anything going on. And granted, there's going to be a little less for road construction than what some folks had anticipated, but we did get a pretty healthy chunk of change from the Fed. So I think that this bill is fair. It's the balance in it is about as close as you're going to get for any compromise that's happened in transportation in the 17 years that I've been here. And if we get a signature on a bill, I think it's all worth it. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would move the numbers and language on the spreadsheet that Ms. Ewers passed out.
Senator Murphy, we have Mr. Burris with some additional comments.
Mr. Chairman, members, with apologies, there is actually one more item that should have been on this list, and this relates to the MVEST acceleration for transit. The item is establishing monetary caps on the amount of money going to transit. And that's to establish that in the event that MVEST revenues were to head back up, that there wouldn't be an additional increase for transit, that those funds would go to roads.
Right, and that was all thoroughly talked about, and everyone understands what that is. So that would be part of the motion as well.
You've heard the motion to amend the conference committee report of the last evening. Any questions or discussions further? Not. Any further testimony or response from the testifier? Commissioner Seajim.
No, he gave us a thumbs up.
Mr. Chair, one very quick point. With the anticipated passage of this bill, we will be able to open up the North Star line this fall, and all of you will be invited to that, and those of you, perhaps we can do a tour of the line and the maintenance facility as well, because this will provide the resources that will allow us to do that, which is much appreciated.
And before we vote, if I could, Senator Murphy, I'd like to just ask Chair Bell to explain to the governor what we talk about with the tax credit. My concern is the tax credit is a $25 credit. It would be implemented in 2010, and it goes to individuals with low income. Many of those individuals do not buy gas. They do not have a car. A greater majority may be students. So I would hope that the governor would consider that, because we may have to look at that somewhere in the future. And it's also, in my opinion, at least my opinion, that's gas tax money, and I think there's a constitutional question whether that can be diverted to non-transportation purposes. And I'd just like to say that if you discuss, if it comes up again with the governor, that it's an issue that we should be looking at. Is there no further questions?
I'll make sure to convey that.
Thank you. No further questions or comment? We can't vote without working.
I vote aye.
All in favor of the amendment to concur in the changes from the last evening in the conference committee report, say aye.
Aye.
Contrary. The motion is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, and then I would first I'd like to say thanks to staff for being as patient as they have been with us over the last few days, because we've kind of jerked your chain around and back and forth, and it looks like we're going to jerk it again tonight. But thanks very much for hanging around and taking care of us. And to the folks in the audience, thanks again for your patience and all your input during the year. We really appreciate it. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would move adoption of conference committee reports.
I believe that's correct. Yeah. You've heard the question? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary. We adopt the conference committee report. And again, I'd like to reiterate, as far as staff goes, we wouldn't do it without staff. There's no doubt about it. They worked hard and diligently, I know. And one of the staff members may be a father the second time, and it's been interfering with some of his issues. And if there are no further questions, the meeting is adjourned.